Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get it. All football, all the time. You're listening to the Best Football Show, hosted by Brian Baldinger.
Hello, welcome to the Best Football Show. I'm Brian Baldinger, at Baldy NFL. You can find me on Twitter, X, Threads, YouTube, you name it. You can find me at the NFL Network. Right here on your free Odyssey app. Down, like, subscribe, all that kind of good stuff. We're here every day. 10 days. This is Monday, tax day. Monday, April 15th. My taxes are done. Got them finished in advance this year for the first time in a long time. Feel good about that. I hope you all do too as well. It can be a stressful situation. But what isn't stressful is talking about the draft and talking about the players in this draft. That's not stressful to me. I don't have to write a check. You know, I don't have to write a check for one of these owners, you know, to try to build my football team. But it's, hope springs eternal. This is a great time to be optimistic. All you have to do is just look at what the Houston Texans did a year ago, drafting C.J. Stroud with the second pick, trading up to get to the third pick to take Will Anderson Jr. And they got the defensive rookie of the year. They did a great job of spending their money in free agency. And there they are, winning the AFC South in a surprise and a playoff game against the Cleveland Browns. So that's what every team should aspire to do. And this is a draft that can get that done. So what we want to do here for this week and up to the draft, 10 days from today, is really take a look at each position group. And in my eyes, the top five players in each position group, it may be good fits for these players. So we'll kind of examine all of it. And so it starts with quarterbacks. It always does. It always does. And, you know, at the very top of this list is Caleb Williams. And I have known Caleb since his days in high school in D.C. I worked with him at a quarterback collective football camp. And I sat down with Caleb in the film room, put a bunch of tape on of Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Russell Wilson and how they were attacking coverages, what they did to attack, what the coverages were, how to attack it, what's the best route combinations. And I just sat there for an hour with Caleb, just very relaxed, feeling like I'm talking to a college senior, to be honest with you. He didn't seem like a high school kid. He was very advanced. He was very smart. He was very articulate. And then after that, I went and watched him throw the football. And I remember texting some friends going, this Caleb Williams, if he was in the combine this year, he'd throw it as good, if not better, than every quarterback that was at that combine back in, 2018 or 19, whatever it was. And then, you know, he was the number one high school recruit in the country, and Lincoln Riley got him to go to Oklahoma. And he beat out Spencer Rattler, went in from the very first day. Oklahoma's losing to Texas in the Texas OU shootout, maybe one of the top three or four college football games every year. I played for the Cowboys, lived in Dallas for a long time. You go out to the Cotton Bowl and watch the Red River shootout. It's great. And he stepped on the field that day and he dominated, and he did for the next 2.5 years. And so, you know, you go back to his high school days, you go back to his days at Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley leaves Oklahoma, goes to USC, travels, follows him with them. There's Cliff Kingsbury, you know, coaching the quarterbacks. There's Lincoln coaching the quarterbacks. And I don't know, people can find flaws in Caleb. You can watch the Notre Dame game this year and watch him throw three interceptions. All that stuff is there. He's the best prospect in this draft. He won the Heisman Trophy year before. Jaden Daniels was outstanding. We'll get to Jaden in a second. He was outstanding. Look, the team wasn't very good outside of Brendan Rice and maybe Marshawn Lloyd. I don't know that USC will have another offensive player drafted. I think every game, there's a stat out there. I should know it by now, but I think he had to score 40 points to win his football games in the Pac-12 this year. I mean, it was ridiculous. So I'm not comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, but I did a lot of Patrick Mahomes games for Fox when he was at Texas Tech. And if Mahomes wasn't putting up 40 or 50, the Raiders weren't winning. They weren't winning a football game. You had to do whatever you had to do to try to win a game and throw off platform, take shots that you probably wouldn't necessarily have to do. But that's how you played. And that's a little bit how Caleb played. So I can hear people say, well, you can't play football like that in the NFL level. And that's true. A lot of those run around throws that he made, you probably can't do in the NFL, but you can do some of those. Because I heard the same arguments about Mahomes. Oh, he's, you know, he's mechanically unsound. He's taking too many chances. He throws into coverage. And he did that at Texas Tech. But he's doing that in the NFL right now at the highest level of success. And like I said, I'm not comparing him to Patrick, but I think he's the best prospect in this draft. And so Chicago, who has the number one pick, I think they made this decision a long time ago, honestly. I think they've watched every game this year. They were at the combine. They were at his pro day. They have sat down with him. I think they feel very comfortable taking Caleb Williams. They went out and, you know, got Keenan Allen. Went out last year, traded for DJ Moore. Went out, traded for DeAndre Swift. I mean, it looks like they've already begun the build around Caleb Williams. They unloaded Justin Fields probably for undervalue to Pittsburgh. I think Justin Fields is a really good player. I think he's only going to get better. He's only – maybe he just turned 25, but maybe he's 24 right now. But they're gonna, just going to reset the clock with the rookie. I think Caleb was 21 years old. It makes sense. You know, financially it makes sense. You can, you know, you got the ninth pick in the draft. You take Caleb, you find another, maybe it's a receiver, maybe it's defensive end, but you get another building block piece for the Chicago Bears and you know, Matt Eberflus and what they've begun last year. My next favorite quarterback, I'm sorry, I don't care. I've been saying it for 3 months now, is Michael Penix Jr. I know he's got an injury history. I know he's 24 years old. I know he was at Indiana for 4 years and he had season-ending surgeries there. And that's true. But when he was at Indiana, he beat Michigan. He took Ohio State to the brink on a team that had no talent, but he was talented. And then he transferred to Washington with Kalen DeBoer and with Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator. And he convinced Rome Odunze to stay. He convinced Jalen Polk to stay. He convinced Jalen McMillan to stay. And they won 24 games and 3 losses in 2 years. And Washington, when he went there, was 4-8, a moribund program that nobody talked about. And everybody wanted to leave. And Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb and Michael Penix went there, convinced some other star receivers to stay. And they put the Washington Huskies on a map. So he's already done what we hope all these guys can do, elevate another program. He's done that. Then you watch him play. You watch his game against Texas. It's as good a tape as any quarterback. It's a game, but it's a playoff game. The whole country's watching. You can't play quarterback any better. You can't make the throws that he made, beat the blitz like he made, make the throws over the top. And I'll say this. The University of Washington, what the offense that Ryan Grubb ran, oh, by the way, Ryan Grubb is now the offense coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks. Kalen DeBoer has now somehow – you know, with the best college football coach we've ever seen, when he stepped away, he's now coaching Alabama. I don't think either one of those coaches are in the NFL without Michael Penix Jr. playing. He's played 27 healthy football games. And this year, there were shootouts in the Apple Cup against Washington State. There were shootouts against USC. There were major, unbelievable games against Oregon and Bo Nix and what Oregon had. I mean, you go to Oregon in 2022, you're 14-point dogs at Oregon, and you go and win that game, okay? And you outplay Bo Nix. I'm just saying, like, there's so much there to love about Michael Penix. There's not anybody in this draft process says he doesn't have the best arm in this draft. You can argue Caleb. You can argue some of these other guys, Drake May. To me, if you put J.J. McCarthy or almost any one of these other quarterbacks in Washington's offense, they're not 14-0 playing Michigan for the national championship. And you could say, okay, he threw 2 interceptions in that game. He did. Look at that throw at the end of the first half to cut the lead to 17-10, where he wants to go to Rome Odunze. And they basically, on his, you know, little pivot route in the goal line, and he trips, and he's down on the ground. He's got to go to his third option over the middle to make the throw. I think it was McMillan. I mean, it's a big-time throw. Michael Penix Jr., I feel, is going to elevate a program. You can say, okay, you know, left-handed. Mike Vick was left-handed. Boomer Esiason's left-handed. You know, you could say Tua's left-handed. I mean, there's a handful of guys that have been successful. Steve Young won a Super Bowl left-handed. It doesn't bother me at all. His arm is unreal. He can generate tremendous velocity and tremendous distance with just using his upper body. He can throw perfectly fine, but sometimes you got to throw off your back foot. Sometimes the blitz is coming at you. You got to make a throw. So I think the more people watch Michael Penix Jr., the more they get over the injuries, the more they get over the age, the more they get over some of this stuff. So that's my second favorite. Then, you know, look, Jaden Daniels has been elite. I mean, he was at Arizona State for 3 years, I think. Look, Antonio Pierce was there. He transfers after Arizona State gets itself in hot water. Brian Kelly and LSU win the battle for him. And to be honest, he became a better player. He was a good player at Arizona State. He didn't put up big numbers. He was 9 interceptions, 10 touchdowns. But, you know, he threw for a good percentage, and he ran the ball pretty good. But he went to LSU. He took it to a different level. Now, you know, you have, guys like Brian Thomas, and you have Malik Nabers, and you go, you know, you have elite players. So around him. But, I mean, Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy, and deservedly so. He ran for 10 touchdowns. He threw for 40. That's 50 touchdowns. Joe Burrow threw for 60, I think, when they won the national championship. I don't think he's Joe Burrow, but he is a really good dual threat quarterback who just improved and took his game to another level this year and deservedly won the Heisman. His game, just his running against Alabama and Florida and some of the other games. I mean, you know, it's Justin Fields. It's Lamar Jackson-like. Now, he's not built like those guys, and that's my concern, is he's got a narrow frame. Doesn't mean he can't fill out and grow into his 6'3" frame. I think he's 209, 210 pounds right now. He can grow into it and get stronger. All that can be done. He's young. I do worry about him taking off and running. And it's not a flaw, but all these guys that run a lot like he did, at some point, you drop your eyes and you take off and you run. You look for the opening and you go. Sometimes it's design. Sometimes it's just you and your instinct. I do have a little concern about his frame, his size, and how if he stays a dual threat quarterback, you know, because we've seen Lamar, we've seen Carson Wentz, we've seen Justin Fields, we've seen them all get hurt. We know the record of guys that take off and run. Maybe the only guy that doesn't is maybe Josh Allen, but nobody's built like Josh Allen in this draft. So that's Jaden Daniels, my third favorite quarterback. I'm going to say Drake May is my fourth. I like Drake May a lot. I'm not down on Drake. This is a good quarterback draft. I think we'll see that in 10 days, the way it unfolds. He's got, you know, you love his frame. 6'4", 230, big, strong arm, can run when he has to. You know, he's got everything that you're looking for in a franchise quarterback. You watch his last two games against Clemson, North Carolina State, you're not in love with him. You're just not. You watch him in some games at the end of the year before, you're not in love with him. Now, everybody has throws that you want to kind of take out of the resume reel and go, all right, I like the good more than I dislike the bad. You can say that about Drake. I mean, with a chance to elevate into, you know, ACC championship territory against Clemson and North Carolina State. And by the way, I went to Duke. I know the ACC forwards and backwards. When you're evaluating players that play in the ACC or play ACC schools, the first school you watch them against is Clemson and this year probably Florida State. You watch them in those first games. Let's see him against the best talent. Now, he played Clemson, North Carolina State last two games. He wasn't very good. He threw, in those games, he threw 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. They scored 20 points a game. He wasn't – I mean, you see the misses and you go, I'm concerned about the accuracy. I was never concerned about the accuracy with C.J. Stroud last year. You could say, he's not a dual-threat quarterback. He doesn't run, except at Georgia he did against Georgia. I don't see the accuracy thing concerns me because when he misses, he misses. It's not guys going off their fingertips. He misses, throws. That's my concern. Like, okay – we all seen accuracy improve. We've seen Josh Allen go from a 58% quarterback to a 70% and become a star in this league. And people question whether you could do that coming out of Wyoming. So I'm not as concerned if Drake May goes to the Minnesota Vikings. And that's the thing. Like, I think Jaden probably goes to Washington. I don't think Michael Penix goes in the top 10. I think Drake May goes in the top 10 because of some things that you can't coach. His size, his frame, you know, how he sees the field. Those are good things, good qualities to get drafted. Concerned about the accuracy. And then for my fifth quarterback, I can't decide between J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix. Bo Nix was awesome at Oregon. He was a much better player at Oregon than he was at Auburn. His completion percentage, his touchdowns to interception ratio, like all that stuff is elite. J.J. McCarthy, look, in the Big Ten championship game this year against Iowa and in the national championship game against Washington, he didn't throw a touchdown pass, but he didn't need to. They were just that good around him. And that's sort of my argument for J.J. I know he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. He went to Michigan. He got spurned by Ohio State. He put it to Ohio State, beat him three times in a row. Like, okay, he got humbled a little bit, went to Michigan, won a championship. Went to Michigan, went to the playoffs. I get the record. I get the success. I get that when it was at the combine, he worked out. He threw. His stock began rising. I thought literally that day when Daniel Jeremiah and the NFL Network was talking about him, and it was a good workout. Those aren't the things that make me draft a player. I want to see this guy, you know, have comeback wins, you know, have his number one wide receiver. I don't know who, Roman Wilson, whoever, Blake Cormier. I want to see him without those guys and how he elevates the team around him. It wasn't a lot of chances for that. So that's my quarterbacks right there. I got Caleb followed by Penix. I think Penix is going to get drafted in the first round, though. It won't surprise me. I'll give you a hot team. Like, I don't think the Atlanta Falcons at 8 are taking a quarterback. No way. But if Atlanta does drop back, would they think about it? Because Kirk Cousins is a 2-year player. The contract's big. But I think Roma Dunze is going to really value if he can go someplace and sit and not have to play. I just think watch out for Atlanta. Watch out for Denver. Watch out for the Raiders. Those are possible, and maybe not at 12 or 13, but I do think there's a place for Michael Penix. I think Drake May is probably going to get taken in the top 5. Minnesota might trade with New England to go up there and get him. It won't surprise me. Maybe the Patriots stay at 3 and get him. Won't surprise me. There's so many quarterback needy teams. I mean, starting with New England, followed by the Giants at 6, followed by, you know, Denver at 12, and the Raiders at 13, and Jacksonville, or Seattle at 16. All those teams could be looking for quarterbacks. And then you get the teams that might trade from the second round into the first round with Kansas City or San Francisco or Baltimore. Get in there, get one of Bo Nix, get Michael Penix, get them on a 5-year contract and start to build. That's the quarterbacks. That's the way I see them. This has been the Best Football Show. Join me tomorrow as I break down the top 5 wide receivers in a wide receiver deep and talented draft. Can't wait to talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Thank you for joining me here on the Best Football Show.